Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Tony Felice of Felice Agency. Tony has been named by Phoenix Business Journal as one of 20 names to know in advertising and marketing. And his 28-year career has taken him from the halls of U.S. Congress to the studios of Hollywood, California. He has worked on public policy, strategy, and media relations for large multinational corporations and small businesses alike. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tony.
Thank you, Julia. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Happy to have you here. So let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So tell us to start. So you have a little bit of experience working in Hollywood. So tell us a little bit more about that. That's so interesting.
So I was working on Park Avenue in New York City, but at night I moonlit with other professionals in an improv troupe. And I was discovered by an agent who, over the course of 6 months, eventually lured me to Hollywood. I enrolled in Groundlings, which is the improv school there that a lot of famous actors have come from. And I signed with his agency, and I immediately started working. I did about 50, ultimately did about 50 TV, film, and commercial projects. So it was an exciting time.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so cool. And then, so how did you make that transition into entrepreneurship?
Wow. Well, I soon realized in Los Angeles that I was miscast in the role of sometime working actor. Because improv is really not about being funny. Improv is about being in the moment. It's about focusing. It's about truth telling. And it's about really engaging with the other person. And there's a lot of trust. And the skills that you develop in improv are so alluring because you get immediate feedback from the audience. They know when magic is happening and it is intoxicating. You don't get the same experience on the set of a film, TV, or TV commercial. You just don't. It's a different process. And the crew can't laugh when you say something funny, right?
Yeah.
So it was a different experience. And I realized that I was drawn to improv because internally, I'm drawn to being effective, because for me, it was about the laughter and not about the applause. The applause made me uncomfortable. And I've applied that same skill in business with my team and with my clients. It's about listening. It's about trust. It's about building on the ideas of others, right? And it's about being in the moment and being present. Those skills will never do you wrong.
Interesting. It's so fascinating. And then, so what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Freedom, number one. Freedom is incredibly important to me. Freedom to set my day, my schedule, decide who gets to be in my space. We say no way more than we say yes to employees and to potential clients. And that's very important. So it's that flexibility of being able to control my environment that is the most attractive. The second is the rush of seeing your clients succeed. Recently, we've had two clients be acquired, which is what you want to happen, right? But it's sad when you see them go, but they've been acquired by bigger corporations.
Yep.
So it's the excitement of seeing your clients do well. That has to be a motivating factor for all of us who run an agency.
Absolutely. And how did you originally get into digital marketing?
Well, digital marketing. So I got into digital marketing different than I got into traditional marketing. I got into digital marketing because right around the time that Facebook started to become a thing, right? And YouTube started to become a thing. This was around 2006 was YouTube, right? Starting to become a thing. At the time, a colleague of mine, Jenny Poon, who runs a co-working space called Cahoots, had pitched me the idea of a collaborative co-working space, okay. And which sounded interesting, but rather than just, you know, share the costs, the motto was based on community. And that really intrigued me. And so concurrent to the idea of community, these social media platforms started to take shape, and they enhanced that concept of community. They made the interaction between community members immediate and instant.
Right.
So we saw then the potential to leverage this tool to expand our awareness of our clients' brands, okay. Not just to have fun, but to expand the awareness of their brands. And then since then, it's exploded, of course. Every day there's a new platform. Every day a platform we're familiar with changes.
Yep.
The strategy changes, the results change, the metrics are changing. What clients care about is changing. They're less interested now about the number of followers as they are in the number of engagements, right?
Yes.
And so that's that. But what got me there was the idea of the sense of community. That's the most important part.
Very interesting. And then, so tell me about the story of starting Felice Agency.
Right. So here I am, a partner in another agency. Love one of the partners. The other one's a bozo. He told me that I'm only paid to care 60% for the clients, right? I knew I was going to leave. And I was torn because the other partner I adored, she taught me everything I know about PR and marketing. But I went to this event called the W.P. Carey Spirit of Enterprise Awards. 1,000 people in the room, a rubber chicken lunch, like we've all been to at a gala, but it's during the day, right?
Yep.
They run these video packages of these business owners who have become extraordinary obstacles to really excel in what they do. Cookie companies, tire companies, medical companies, even a company that does telemarketing and uses women prisoners to help them get a leg up in life, right? Wow. There wasn't a dry eye in the audience. And I remember saying to myself, I want to be one of those companies one day that they talk about. But I looked around the room because I worked at a national agency. I didn't know anyone in the room. And I was like, how can I even do this? Within 2 years, I knew everyone. And the reason, I knew half the people in that room after 2 years because I gave away my best secrets. And I would do things like I would pitch stories to reporters that had nothing to do with the clients that I represented just because it was the right thing to do.
Interesting.
Word gets around. Phoenix is one of those places. We're in Phoenix and San Diego. Phoenix is one of those places where it's aptly named. It's a Phoenix. People love a redemption story. They love success.
Yeah.
So that community is built for entrepreneurship because people get it and they love you and they'll do what they can to support you.
Very cool. So I know as cliche as it sounds, but you really were leading with value with everyone that you met, and you were just trying to get your name out there, spread positive stories about different businesses. And that's basically how you were networking, essentially.
Right. And at the time I was trying to figure out, what am I going to call this thing? Am I going to be clever? Is it going to be impact management? Is it going to be, you know, consolidated ideas? And I talked to my grandfather, and my grandfather said, put your name on it because you got to look these people in the eye and know you did a good job. Right? That really stuck with me. So I named it after myself, not from ego, but to leave that legacy behind. I don't have kids, right? This is my child.
Yep.
And at least my name will carry on at least for a little while I'm gone.
Yeah. No, I love it. That's awesome. And then, so what are some of the biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
Ooh, one is the skill I'm trying to hone. And that is number one, how to read people better so that I don't get my heart broken as much. Right? Staff, clients, right? I'm pretty good, but I'm getting better at it.
So
you asked me, how do I overcome obstacles on a day-to-day basis? The next is, I should have read The Richest Man in Babylon when I was in my 20s, right? Mm-hmm. Because this book was written a long time ago. But there's about five rules that if you follow them, you can create wealth for yourself. And too often I paid staff out of my retirement, right? Because I felt like they're papa, right? And some of them aren't even here anymore, right?
Right.
And I made sacrifices that I didn't need to make because I just didn't have the right process in place, right? Yeah. Number one thing is every penny that you earn, take 10% of it and put it into a savings account that you do not touch because that is yours to keep. Number one. Number two, take another 10% and invest it in investments, right? Of what you earn. A 10%, you know, hopefully no more than 10% should go to the government, 10% to charity, and then you pay all your bills, right? If you create that sort of structure, it feeds itself. And when you put it automatic, all of a sudden the savings account is growing and you're not even paying attention to it. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a really important lesson I wish I had learned that I would love everyone to learn. And then the last thing is there's a famous saying, you know, when I was a child, I did things as a child did, but it's time to put away childish things. I acted like a child. I understood things as a child. I spoke as a child and I thought as a child. Very telling what that person is trying to tell you. That also, I believe, appears in the Bible, I think it's in Corinthians, is that do not do the things you did as a child, as a business owner. Don't stand there paused on your way into the bedroom and think you're a failure and everything's going to fall apart and you're a fraud. Those are the thoughts of a child.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't say things that are inappropriate. Don't gossip. Right? Be impeccable with your word. Right?
Ooh, I like and, that.
And be impeccable with your actions. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Yep. And if you don't do it, apologize profusely and beg forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
If you can do those things, then what you've done is you've magnetized your brain for money and for clients and for success because you've cleared it from those doubting thoughts that will inevitably manifest themselves in the actions that you perform.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love
so that's
that.
Very important. Very, yeah, very important. Definitely. Put aside childish things and become an adult.
Love it. Yeah, it's so true. You know, at the end of the day, plus people just want to be treated, you know, I try to treat everyone the way I'd want to be treated, you know, with like respect. Right. And it, like you said, just doing what you say you're going to do.
Right.
And yeah, I think it works wonders for just building positive relationships in your life as you go.
Right. It's a little confusing right now because we live in a time where we celebrate the most awful of human behavior. We have TV shows that give awards for terrible behavior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've been conditioned, and there are a lot of babies in the world right now. You look around at the worst things going on in the world, whether you apply it to the way a business conducts itself or a politician conducts itself or someone in your family conducts themselves. Ultimately, what are they acting like? A child, a baby.
It's true.
Right? Time for us to grow up. And for us, what we do for a living, we have to use our powers for good. We really, really do. It's essential we use our powers for good.
Yes.
And we can talk about how to do that all day long.
I agree. I love it. I love that you put part of the money that you earn towards charity as well. Because I think that's so, so important.
Incredibly important.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had one growth tip that you could share with other agency owners, what would that be?
Don't take on free clients because you think you're going to get exposure. Exposure doesn't pay the bills.
Yes.
One free client and make sure that you get paid on performance, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll take on a love client who has no money, but we see the potential in them and we'll invest in them and we'll help them along and we'll work for free. And in return, we get a percentage of any wealth that's created for them. Right. So we get a payoff a little bit later down the road. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm. So it's strategically done. You're investing in the company.
Why? Because you don't want to put that out into the universe that you want to work for free. And then all your friends and neighbors are going to refer all these people with great ideas and no money.
Right? Yeah.
Number one, you've got to, I'm going to give you one of my secrets as a marketer.
Okay.
You should be doing this for your clients every single day. The four things you should be focusing on: enrichment, insulation from harm, marketing, and communicating.
Love
and
it.
In your campaign with any digital marketing campaign for your client, it's going to be based on strategy. But that strategy has to include tactics that are centered around those areas. Did I say public relations, news coverage, social media? Those things fall under these things.
Got it.
Right.
That's one of the secrets to success right there.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great tip. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
So I would love to talk a little bit about sales with you. So okay. How do you currently bring in new clientele into your agency? And, you know, when you're bringing in leads, how are you closing those sales?
Right. So the first thing I do is fill my hand with fairy dust and throw it into the air and wish, which is hilarious, but it's actually true. We do it every day, right? We put it out there. So the first thing you have to do is magnetize your brain to receive these good things that are coming to you. Mm-hmm. So like I said, be very rigid about your thought, about your speech, about your actions, and keeping your promises. That's number one.
Yep.
Okay. Number two, leverage your network. What I try to do is put a calendar note in here in my calendar so that a couple of things happen. One, I sow the seeds each month. So every Wednesday I call someone out of the blue and tell them how proud I am of them.
Oh, that's awesome. Right? I love that.
Nothing nefarious, not looking for anything out of it, not doing it for publicity, just doing it as one human being to another.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there, that goodwill out there.
Yep.
The next thing I do is I give something away, just something small once a week, and I'm doing it now. I'm giving away my ideas to you, right?
Yeah.
In a very small way, not saying to the world, I want to give away all my ideas for free. But what I am saying is that I have a responsibility to pay it forward, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, I reach out to my contacts once a month and I say, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to introduce me to 5 people you think should know me.
Ooh, right? That's powerful.
Now we're doing some of the strategies we've deployed for some of our clients. Like right now, most people don't know that on the Wix back end, on the Wix platform, you can run Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, and retargeting ads at a fraction of what you would normally pay elsewhere. And the results are speaking for themselves. We did a BOGO offer, advertising through Facebook and Instagram through the Wix platform. Mm-hmm. And we spent $26 and we had 4,000 conversions. We had $4,000 worth of conversions. So wow. We turned 20 bucks into $4,000 for our client, right? So that's another thing we do is we leverage some of those tools, but also every time we create a success for our clients, we have a whole spreadsheet that it goes on my personal Facebook, my personal Twitter, my personal LinkedIn, the agency's Facebook, the agency's email, the agency's press list. We have a whole way of leveraging our clients' success for news about us.
Yes.
And that's really important to do that.
Absolutely.
But I'm always looking for tools to help. And more often than not, my heart is broken. A lead gen company or people who do appointment settings or a person who says that they're a salesperson. More often than not, I have yet to crack that code. So if anybody that is on your podcast has the answer, I'm making a personal plea to you to email me. Because it's just old fashioned beating the bushes. And creating yes. the same sales pipeline and nurture sequence that we do for our clients. It's really hard though, because you're focused on bringing money into your agency, not promoting your agency. So like that example of taking 10%, immediately putting it into savings, mm-hmm. do the same thing with your agency. 10% of your staff should be spending 10% of their time on promoting the agency.
Awesome. No, that's really helpful advice. And then, so when you were in the early days, when you were just starting out, how did you bring on those first few clients?
I gave away my best ideas. I would talk to the Rotary Club. I talked to the Arizona Small Business Association, the Chamber of Commerce. Most of the chambers want you to join. Some of them you don't have to, mm-hmm. but I just found ways to speak before groups. Like I spoke in front of 200 real estate agents and had the audacity to walk on stage and say, I'm here to tell you none of you are real estate agents if you're smart. And they were like, what? Who is this fool? I said, but what you really are, if you're smart, you are marketing experts with a deep knowledge of real estate.
Yeah, edgy. I like it.
That's what sets you apart from the person sitting next to you. And when you get that, you don't need somebody like me.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're just pushing yourself kind of outside your comfort zone, getting your name out there as much as possible. Right. And just networking.
Let me rephrase that. You do need someone like me, but if you get that, you can get yourself to a point where you can afford somebody like me.
Right. Right. Of course. Love it. So what do you do if you have a prospect you've determined you'd really like to work with, and but maybe they're just dragging their feet a little bit, and you're trying to avoid them procrastinating? What do you do in that situation?
Well, the first thing you have to do is demonstrate you know them. And that really helps in conversion, right? So I did really well in college, and it wasn't because I was brilliant. It's because I really listened to what the professor asked for, and I gave it to them. But not only did I do that, I made them laugh every time. Because if you're a professor at 9 o'clock and grading papers, right, last thing you want is someone droning on. But if I can build comedy into my physics equation, which you can do, then yeah, they remember that, right? So the same application is true in life. And so really understanding what people are asking for and what they want and giving it to them is important.
Very good. I like that.
Oh, and also some structure. Introduce structure to them from the very beginning, because think about this. This is what I tell my staff all the time. When someone says, here's some money, build me a website, that's not what's happening. What they're saying is, here's all I can afford. I'm making an investment in me and you. Mm-hmm. I need you to please help me make my dreams come true.
Right.
That's totally different. Totally different. Mm-hmm. When you understand that, then you understand what a prospect needs. They need to know you hear them, you understand them and their structure, and that there's some measures that we can turn to that demonstrate the success of our working together. Right? So we give them some structure out of the gate. We introduce them to some of our tools so they see the structure.
Yep.
And we lay things out visual for them so they understand how marketing works. And along the way, we teach them how to communicate using psychology and neurolinguistics. We teach them how to express themselves better so that they derive value from what they do, from what we do.
Right? Oh, very
you
cool.
Just tell people what you're going to do. They don't believe you. You have to tell them why we're going to do this, because I understand you and I love you and I care about you. This is how you can believe me. This is how you can trust me. Two different things. Believe is heart. Trust is brain. Mm-hmm. What do you do that's different than everybody else? And so what? Right?
Yeah. So can you explain a little bit more about how you teach your clients to better communicate with you?
One thing for sure, this is a secret I'll give away. Number one is look to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a created by a great thinker named Maslow, and it's a pyramid shape, like the food pyramid, right?
Yes.
You eat these things and less of this. Well, in Maslow's pyramid, at the very top is the person is self-actualized. They have a clear understanding who they are. They're giving back to the world. Before they can do that, they have to have a sense of belonging. They have to feel like they belong to a tribe or to a family or to in a relationship.
Yep.
And underneath that, there has to be intimacy with others, with children, with husband, right? And underneath mm-hmm. that are your basic needs, food, water, and shelter. And underneath of that is Wi-Fi. You don't have Wi-Fi, you can't get any of this done, right?
Exactly. I love it. Yes, I haven't heard about that since high school.
Right. If you remember that, listen, a lot of the answers we're looking for in the world are right in front of our very eyes. A lot of times my staff will come in and ask a silly question, and I'll pull up a flashcard that says, let me introduce you to the wonderful world of Google.
Yeah.
Right? Right? It's at our fingertips. And how many people have started a business and never Googled, what does it take to become a successful bakery? Right?
Right.
That's the key to life, is to just find out who's done it really well, what do they do, and do that.
Yeah, definitely. Love it. So do you have any tips for boosting productivity in your day-to-day?
Yes. Yes. Number one, set your intentions the night before. When you go to bed, say, I'm going to sleep great, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to feel great, and I'm going to have a great day tomorrow. Literally say that to yourself before you go to sleep. Then more often than not, you'll wake up before the alarm even goes off, right?
Yeah.
Then put this thing on do not disturb when you go to bed, and do not look at it for the first 45 minutes of being awake. Have your coffee, wander around, and if you can, meditate. Meditation has transformed my life. It's given me the best ideas for my clients. Yeah. People like to poo-poo it, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Imagine you have to clear your brain of all the clutter, clean it out for a brand new living room set to come in, mm-hmm. right? What are you going to do? You're going to get all that junk out of there. You're going to run the vacuum. You're going to wipe the walls down. You're going to get it prepared for new stuff.
Yeah.
That new living room set is today. That's the next day. You got to prepare your brain for the day ahead of you by getting rid of all that clutter and keeping this. And trust me, the universe knows that you have an appointment at 9:00. You are not going to get lost in meditation and miss your meeting. If you trust it, the process works. So clear your head and become prepared. Then keep it on do not disturb. Don't open your email. Don't look at the news. Don't look at social media. Pull up your task list and spend 1 hour on the most difficult task.
Ooh, that's good.
Then turn your phone on so you're available, and then do the next most important thing on your task. Mm-hmm. And then the next most important thing, you'll be available for an emergency. Do not look at your email until about 11 a.m. If you can master nice. That, what you're doing is you're training the universe how to treat you. I used to wake up to 25 text messages from clients. Emergency, emergency, emergency. I used to browse immediately. I would go on to the New York Times and the wind would be sucked out of me, right?
Yeah.
Don't do any of that stuff. Now, I wake up in the morning, I do my routine, not one text message.
Interesting. So
So
you're very, very intentional about where you're spending your time first thing in the morning.
Brilliant. You just brilliantly used the most important word that you should enter into your vocabulary, and that is intention.
Awesome. So I'm really curious. So with your morning meditation, do you do a visualization as part of that, or what kind of meditations are you doing?
Right. I meditate in two places, depending on necessity. One place is the shower. I happen to have a bench in my shower that I can sit on. Mm-hmm. The other is Guard Station 11, which is on the beach at the end of my street. I sit there with the waves and I focus on the waves. For me, it is about the absence of ideas and thought. So what I do is I hold my hands like this and I move my fingers like this. This occupies my brain because it requires focus. Mm-hmm. And then I go om, and I close my eyes and I make that om sound. Yep. And if you do it, you will actually see in your vision this third eye almost. Tell me if you see it. It's a combination of the vibration and the focus. You can pull this like third eye. And I believe that that's the connection to the realities version of the internet.
Yeah.
There's the internet is a metaphor for reality. We all have access to infinite knowledge. That's where Mozart pulls down a composition. It's where Einstein pulls down an equation. It's where I come up with a great idea for a client. We reach up and we pull it down. When you meditate and you empty your brain, right, of all of the thoughts, at the same time, I do a breathing exercise where I breathe in through my stomach really fast. Yep. I do it for about a minute. And then I let all the air out. And as I let all the air out, I let all the emotion out of my body. No emotion at all. I go blank. And then I take a deep breath and I swear it's like getting high. All of a sudden you're lightheaded and you're clear. Mm-hmm. And then you sit that way meditating for as long as you can. 20 minutes is great. And then you allow the first emotion to come in, and it's gratitude.
I love that.
And then when you don't think about what you're grateful for, just be grateful. Feel that feeling of being grateful, of like being, and then if you have to visualize, be a kid, go to being a kid at Christmas time, right? Or Hanukkah, where you can't wait for summer vacation. Hold on to that and then keep your brain blank. And then what usually happens for me is an answer comes to me for a question that I've been seeking an answer to in the form of a question.
Wow, that's so cool.
And those questions are often like, for Adopt Technologies, what if you used an elephant, right? Out of the blue. And that formed the basis for the entire brand that we've used to develop this company.
Oh, wow.
That's grown significantly, right.
That's incredible.
So that's the process for meditation for me.
Very cool. I think, yeah, you really have to train your brain on how to think. And I think once you meditate, you know, you're really training it to be, just to be more, have more gratitude, think more positively, and be more receptive to receiving positive information. So yeah, I love that.
We're surrounded by things that are illogical every day. And I'm not trying to turn this into anything nefarious at all, because drugs do help a lot of people. But for ADHD, for example, we are bombarded. We are conditioned to have ADHD so that then we go on medication to stunt the ADHD, which cuts us off from that place I talked about, the real internet, right?
Yeah.
So instead of doing that process, instead, for the ADHD person, try meditation and see. You would think anathema. It's like, I have ADHD, how could I concentrate? And because it's actually helpful to just try to release that stuff. Even just the act of trying to release it has benefits. I'm not a medical professional. I'm sure there are plenty of people who will comment and say, this guy's an idiot, right? I'm just saying, it seems illogical to condition people to give them a drug when you could maybe break the cycle using something else.
Mm-hmm, definitely. You know, and I feel like meditation, it gets a bit of a bad rap that it's a little bit too woo-woo for some people. But at the end of the day, entrepreneurs, they deal with a ton of stress on average on a daily basis. And it's just a great way, if nothing else, to really calm your mind, help combat that stress. And then, you hear over and over and over that you have so many positive benefits from meditation. Think and Grow Rich.
Have you heard of this book?
Yes, I have.
This book is not about this book is about thinking and growing rich, but it's not about thinking and growing rich. This book is a code for how the universe works, including meditation.
Interesting.
This book was written in 1929. What happened? First of all, in America, we were just coming out of an agrarian into an industrialized nation at the turn of the century. There was no such thing as bettering yourself and going to college. If you were working in a factory, you were working in a factory. If you are on a farm, you were on a farm. Very rarely was there a Mr. Smith goes to Washington. So what publisher in their right mind would publish a book called Think and Grow Rich? The secrets are in here. And one of the secrets in here is what I've been talking about. Yeah. So it may seem woo-woo, and if you want to call it woo-woo, you're more than welcome to. And you'll be able to prove us wrong. But if you can do this and learn how to become successful, why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I love that. It's such a great book recommendation. So we're getting ready to start wrapping up here shortly, but is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners that you think would be beneficial?
I want you to remind the listeners of your intention for creating this podcast.
My intention is to just share as much helpful, genuinely helpful information as possible through the guests I bring on. That is my sincere goal, that every time they listen to an episode, that there is something that they can take away that will create a positive impact within their business or themselves.
I'm here to believe and to share that you're having a tremendous impact. The act of doing that with an intention like that, you are affecting not just the people who listen, but the people who listen and are impacted, who therefore impact others. I mean, you could be impacting 300,000 people per episode, right? Mm-hmm. Both on a physics level as well as on a physical level. So I love hearing that, and I'm impressed with that.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Well, we are going to move on to the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So you may have already mentioned it, but is there a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Yeah, it's two books. I'll say them again. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and The Richest Man in Babylon.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
What we just talked about. I get up in the morning and I don't think about anything. I stretch and then I meditate either on the beach or in the shower. And then I tackle my most important things or go to the gym and then tackle my most important things. But really the morning is to prepare myself as well as accomplish the three most difficult tasks. The rest of it is fluff after that.
Perfect. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I draw inspiration from CEOs that do no harm.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Can come up with a list of them in your head. I'm very inspired by that. And I'm also inspired by people who have amassed great wealth and give it away in a very smart way that affects social change. Mostly though, I'm a rabid fan of motivational speakers and I like the little montages you can find on YouTube that are snippets from each one.
Yep.
So Louise Hay, Brene Brown, Les Brown, Jim Rohn, Wayne Dyer. These are some of the great minds. Even Denzel Washington and Steve Harvey.
Yes, absolutely. That's great. And then what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, there are two. For small agencies, Run, Do Not Walk, to sign up for this tool called Milanote.
Okay.
It is for creative collaboration, but you can literally house all of the client's information in one central location you can click and drag, and you can put comments and it emails everybody, and you can do workflows, and you can have links to Dropbox or links to Google Docs, or you can literally click a movie and drop it onto the, it behaves just like your desktop, your physical desktop does, where you can move stuff around and put stuff in piles. Sorry, I used the S word. Do we need
that's okay. No, that's okay. Perfect. Yes. And then, so what is that called again?
It's called Milanote.
Milanote.
Uh-huh. And you can brand it for your for your agency. The other right now is Adobe XD. Finally, an Adobe product that makes web design easy and web programming easy in one place.
Yep.
So it works for programmers and for designers, and it's easy to learn. And I'm just super excited about it. It's cut my design time down. I would say, like about 84%.
Wow, that's incredible! Wow.
Right. And the collaboration between me and my web development team is really much more efficient as a result of Adobe XD.
Very cool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Childish thinking delivers childish results. You must be disciplined in your thoughts, your words, and your actions. That's the most important thing. And I think I talked about knowing how to read people better. Mm-hmm. Right. And to understand that self-preservation as an agency is as important as the culture that I create. And those two will feed off of each other. Mm-hmm. But there are times where we make wrong choices and someone can derail the entire culture and impact your business. It's not always about firing fast. Sometimes if that person has a mission critical role, it's better to quarantine them until you can get over that necessary obstacle. I wish I had known that. I thought I had to hire slow and fire fast, but sometimes firing fast is not the right strategic choice.
Interesting. Well,
and saving money. That's the last one. I don't want anyone to walk away without learning that one. Take that 10%. It's yours. Before you pay anyone, put that 10% in savings.
Yeah, absolutely. Such great advice. Well, yes. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I love everything that you shared with us. Super inspiring. And I really appreciate you joining me.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you for all you're doing to make the world a better place.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.